What is up, you giving veins? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, I'm going to hit you up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, troubling, confusing, makes you hate Shakespeare when you read it for the first time because you have no idea what he's talking about, break it down, tell you what the word means, and try to sneak it past Dan in whatever way I want to during this week's episode. This week, the word of the week is rogue. Rogue, R-O-G-U-E, meaning vagrant, vagabond, or beggar. Since the rules of the word of the week now allow me to sneak it through any way I want to, I can fully act the rogue in sneaking it past Dan. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Kevin Condardo.
And I'm Dan Bollier. This week we'll make a point about Romeo and Juliet, bend Shakespeare over, and cash in on the Shakespearean notebook we submitted to Antique Roadshow that is of, quote, enormous scholarly value. But first, let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day, and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. Kevin won the coin flip before the show, and has elected to go first. So here we go. Question number one. Ben Crystal emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, Lear speaks in trochaic pentameter when he loses Cordelia and says, never, 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 never. Find another where Shakespeare has reversed the rhythm to reflect inner turmoil. Tetrameter from Magical Creatures do not count.
Thank you for the fine print and the homework prompt, Professor Crystal. So I was going through the, trying to find these, because this isn't something, the way I really think about these things. I'm not really keeping a flag out.
Sure.
And so I just did a cursory search of all of, like, the most heightened moments, like of Hamlet jumping on Ophelia's casket.
Sure.
Leontes finding... realizing the oracle was right, and most of them are pretty standard, which I was surprised about.
Standard, like rhythm.
Iambic pentameter, pretty even. Yeah. So as I will do every time I don't have an answer to a question, I'll go with Richard III.
Sure.
And the line that kicks it off: "Now is the winter of our discontent."
Okay.
And it could be, you know, it could be regular. Now is the winter of our discontent, but it's much better if you just turn that first one inside out.
Sure.
And it's a moment of...
inner turmoil.
It is a moment of inner turmoil because Richard is in a room surrounded by idiots, and now he has to deal with you for 2 hours. So, Richard III, now is the winter of our discontent.
Very nice. So, I, too, was a little caught off guard by this question because while I do think about Scansion when I'm working on these plays, it's not quite my focus when I'm just reading them, unless it is, you know, if you're doing text work or if you're dramaturging for a show, that's when, like, that's where you're shining the flashlight. So I was a little perplexed. So I went with From Romeo and Juliet. Oh, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? And this example, of course, was cited in my favorite book, The Shakespeare Miscellany, by David and Ben Crystal, as an example of trochaic pentameter. So I went with that. I thought it would be a good answer.
That is a good brown nosing.
Juliet in the moment, of course, is her, it's a reflection of the heartbreak. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo? That it switches right in the middle of the line from iambic into trochaic on that phrase, wherefore art thou Romeo? Why are you who you are? Why are you called this?
Right.
It's in the sense that Lear's heart is breaking because he's losing Cordelia. Juliet's heart is, it's that pain of, like, that sweet pain of, oh, the love of my life I can't have. It's a different kind of heartache. Yeah. So I'm going to go with that. Question number two. D.A. Rowley, who is at Antique Fables, tweeted us to ask, Simpsons already did Hamlet.
Simpsons did it.
What other Shakespeare would you like to see with Springfield residents, and who plays whom? So, for me, I'm going to go with King Lear.
Okay.
Being done in the Springfield Town Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see Mr. Burns, who will fund the production, play
Naturally.
Lear.
Sure.
With Smithers as the fool, Homer as Kent, Bart and Lisa as Edmund and Edgar, respectively. Marge as Cordelia. Selma Bouvier and Patty Bouvier as Goneril and Regan, respectively. Barney Gumble as Albany. Groundskeeper Willie as the badass Cornwall. Ned Flanders as the soft SAWFT France. Maggie as Burgundy, because he has like one line.
Perfect.
And Grandpa as Gloucester, losing his eyes.
I like it.
So that's my my Simpsons Lear.
I like it. Directed by Senor Spielbergo, as all Mr. Burns productions are.
Well, of course.
For me, I went with The Tempest at the Springfield Community Players. And I'm going to go, we've talked about young Prosperos before, and I'm going to really push the envelope here with Bart as Prospero.
Wow.
Lisa will be Miranda. Sideshow Bob is Antonio. Nice. I think Bart and Sideshow Bob could pass for brothers.
And Sideshow Bob of the unified Sideshow Bob theory.
Of course. Ned Flanders is Gonzalo.
Perfect.
Ariel is Marge. And then Mo, the bartender, is Caliban. Homer is Trinculo. And Barney is Stefano.
Nice.
So that's my The Tempest.
Very good. So there you go, Antique Fables. Question number three. Monty Sutton booty called our inbox to secure our spot as cultural leaders among the lowest brow of arts. He reached out to us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, in light of Shakespeare's fixation on mommy-daddy issues, pervasive libidos, and lovable boozers, concoct a drunken one-night stand between two characters from different plays whose burst condom bastard love child would conquer all other characters in the canon.
Well, thank you, Monty, for this slightly unsettling question. Did it come in the middle of the night, actually? Like, is this like a 1:50 a.m. you up?
No, this came in.
Dual question.
This came up, like, you know, 7 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Okay.
So, you know, just
seeing, getting started early.
Putting feelers out there.
Amen. So, I focused on this last part of the question, conquer all other characters in the canon.
Okay.
So, and I debated if I wanted to have it be too magical, ethereal beings coming together, but I decided to keep it more terrestrial.
Okay.
So I'm just going to pick two badasses and make them have a kid that will be super badass.
That sounds like the question.
Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be Coriolanus from Coriolanus.
Oh, okay. That
and
one.
Tamara, Queen of the Goths from Titus Andronicus.
Nice.
I mean, Tamara's two kids from whoever they were are pretty dangerous in terms of reconquering.
Sure. She has three kids.
Right.
One of
the two that we meet.
Right. Kyron and Demetrius.
Could do some damage.
Yes.
So if you get that third Coriolanus's, whoa, doctor.
Yep.
Look out. So,
absolutely. And that kid could play a middle linebacker for our Shakespearean football team.
Right, because we need one.
It's going to be huge.
And it would be in the third, but in another play. So
perfect.
Perfect.
Love it. So I chose to focus in on the first part of this, the drunken one night stand part.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually these characters. I'm pretty much basing on productions that I've directed, that I've seen. I see these characters in this light. I'm not sure that they're always played this way.
Okay.
But Mercutio.
Okay.
And Regan from
Yeah,
Lear,
that's good.
That, you know, they would get it on. They would be like, they'd end up at the same party and they'd both be like, oh, we have no future except for right now.
Interesting.
And we you know, and I also picture Mercutio like breaking a condom.
Totally.
He's just like, oh,
right.
Really needed to work on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Regan is just like, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm Cornwall shooting blanks. I have no kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Mercutio and Regan.
I like it. Yeah, one of
an awesome bastard love child.
One of the Lear sisters. That's a really good call.
Right? And that is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com, on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. On Twitter, at NoHoldsBardcast, and on Facebook, at facebook.com/NoHoldsBardcast. Kevin!
Yes?
Shall we do some homework?
Yes, let's.
Mortals, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Kevin and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from enotes.com user 7986875.
How many numbers? Is that a phone number, you think? What do you think that is?
We can call it. We can call
Let's
them up
find
right now. Just get the right area code.
Right.
From the Romeo and Juliet subsection of Homework Help, titled, I need help writing an essay on the following topic. What point was Shakespeare trying to make with this story?
Rogue.
I need it not to sound too academic, as I am a ninth grade English student.
So, I want an
answer.
Oh,
there's more.
Oh, God.
That's the title.
Wow.
They ask. Here is the assignment. Each body paragraph must have at least two quotes from the text to help support the statement's thesis, and the essay must be written in present tense. The conclusion must be a separate paragraph, not one sentence tacked on to a body paragraph. Avoid using contractions or big words if you don't know what they mean or how to use them.
It's never stopped us.
Make sure you do not have any fragments. Do not write your essay like you speak. It's an essay, not a speech.
What is
and
up with this teacher?
Don't start the introduction with a question.
What is up with this teacher? Has some... Like, my God.
So, Kev, using all of those guidelines...
Well, I'm emotionally scarred by the question. All these don'ts. What am I allowed to do here?
Negative spiral, man.
Right? Keep it positive, English teachers. Cheer up.
Now, it's not clear if that's what the teacher wrote or if that's the student just laying it on the enotes.com helpers, being like, hey, idiots, I need your help.
It sounds pretty verbatim.
I like all the parentheticals, though. If you don't know what they mean or how to use them, it's an essay, not a speech. It just sounds a little...
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. User 7986875 is in trouble.
Seriously.
And they're reaching out for help from your boys.
And we are right here to help them.
Right?
Depending on... is the essay... Have they... has the deadline passed? Do you know what...
Oh, no. This is fresh.
Oh,
this
really?
Is fresh.
Fresh to death.
So,
right.
Kev.
Yes.
I'm not sure if there is one, but what's the point of Romeo and Juliet?
Don't fall in love? Is that
or
alternative thoughts?
What's your second option? What else are you selling?
Well, interesting. What is the point?
Right. And make sure you don't start this with a question.
Oh,
because we can't lead off our essay with a question. We have to. Apparently,
what is the quote? Okay, so here's the first. The first one would be quote. What is the point of Romeo and Juliet? End quote. Is a question that scholars have considered for many years, period.
Period.
Not a question.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Oh, wait, don't start with a quote.
Oh, well, what the hell? I can't have any fun. Okay, so that'll be the second sentence.
Perfect.
The first sentence will be...
Hello.
Hello.
Period.
I feel like because of the minefield this teacher has laid out, I would just try to write the essay to just slalom between the various, like
technically
that.
Right.
Yeah. It's like okay. The best kind of right, technically right.
If you want to give me all these rules,
right.
I'm going to
scoot right on through.
Bill Belichick it. Look
right.
For all the loopholes.
Right.
Look for every little loophole.
But what is the point?
We digress. The point of Romeo and Juliet. So don't fall in love is interesting. Could we support that as a... Are there three different types of love that warning us
about? The better way to do that is going to be love. Like love can't be defined, controlled, you know, because the point is for the families, right? The point, sure. Romeo and Juliet didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Don't trust drug dealers, I guess, is one that we could have.
That's another one. The DARE students.
Right. No, but I think it's about, you know, don't try to control... I don't know. Help
sure.
me phrase this.
Yeah,
thing. It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, don't let people are going to love who they're going to love or.
Right. Don't put parameters on who you love or
right.
who others around you love.
Yeah. Don't put all these sort of negative English question style rules on who someone's going to be with.
Find the power of positivity.
Yeah. It's a new day for these guys.
Yeah. Something, you know, loyal listeners will have heard me say this before, but it's, you know, just it always comes to mind with Romeo and Juliet. This quote from someone who I can't quote because I don't know who it is, but I'll give you the quote, that the tragedy of Romeo and Juliet is not that Romeo and Juliet die, it's that they have to die.
Right.
That, I think, is, you know, that their love transcends all the bickering and the fighting of the families. They, in that sense, they are sacrificial lambs.
Right.
Like, it's not, I mean, kids fall in love and it doesn't work out and they die, and that is sad.
Right.
But it's not tragic.
Right.
What's tragic is that, in this case, the only way these parents will shut up and listen to each other and hopefully find something positive, because this question does reflect the negativity of the Verona of the play.
Right, it is, yeah, maybe that's intentional.
Teacher's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Always, we always love teachers
on the podcast.
Of course,
yes.
Teachers are always right. So maybe that's what this is.
Mm.
The teacher has shown user 7986785557301 that they are mired in negativity.
Right.
And that the love is the thing that can get us through.
Right.
Transcend and heal the wounds, the egregious wounds of the play.
Hmm. So what are the paragraphs that we need to write?
So if we're talking about not wanting to control
right.
love,
uh-huh.
we could look for three examples of people who attempt to do such a thing.
Sure.
And in very different ways.
Sure.
I think Mercutio and Benvolio, when they're on Romeo,
right.
are essentially like sending him up, and his line, they jest at scars and never felt a wound,
mm-hmm.
is very much like, they don't know what's going on. They're trying to like, that boy, like that playful, you don't want to love that person because it's going to cut into boy time.
Right, exactly.
It's a very real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you also have, I mean, obviously the parents
yep.
trying to keep him apart. That's an easy paragraph. You can find some quotes in there.
Yeah.
And then I think the third one might be the friar.
Right.
That, like, even by trying to control in a way that, you know, trying to let them be together
yep.
in this very convoluted way, it's like, you're playing with fire.
He is playing with, and he loves it.
Mm.
You know, I think there's an argument that he sees the whole picture, that he's like, this might not work out for them, but it is.
Very exciting.
You know, that's the doctrine of, like, someone has to die in order for redemption.
Oh, interesting. So are you positing?
I am.
Are you fan theorying? That the friar does this on purpose to mend this civil scars?
Yes.
Damn.
I am positing that right here, right now, on this episode of No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to.
Was
Friar Lawrence behind it all the way.
Point of order. Was that actually one of our fan theories in the fan theory episode?
We may have covered that already.
It's all right. They don't know that.
They'll let us know. So that's your answer, user 7986875. Another five from Chaboys here at No Holds Barred. Kev?
Yes?
Time for some Everyday Shakes?
I think so.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, "They fool me to the top of my bent," as featured in Act 3, Scene 2 of Hamlet. Let's hear the phrase in context. The recorders. Let me see one. To withdraw with you, why do you go about to recover the wind of me as if you would drive me into a toil?
Oh, if my lord, if my duty be too bold, my love is too unmannerly.
I do not well understand that. Will you play upon this pipe?
My lord, I cannot.
I pray you.
Believe me, I cannot.
I do beseech you.
I know no touch of it, my lord.
'Tis as easy as lying. Govern these ventages with your fingers and thumb, give it breath with your mouth, and it will discourse most eloquent music. Look you, these are the stops.
But these cannot I command to any utterance of harmony. I have not the skill.
Why, look you now, how unworthy a thing you make of me. You would play upon me, you would seem to know my stops, you would pluck out the heart of my mystery, you would sound me from my lowest note to the top of my compass, and there is much music, excellent voice, in this little organ, yet cannot you make it speak? Blood. Do you think I am easier to be played on than a pipe? Call me what instrument you will, though you can fret me, you cannot play upon me. God bless you, sir.
My lord, the queen would speak with you, and presently.
Do you see yonder cloud that's almost in the shape of a camel?
Oh, by the mass, 'tis like a camel, indeed.
Methinks it's like a weasel.
It is backed like a weasel.
Or like a whale.
Very like a whale.
Then I will come to my mother by and by. They fool me to the top of my bent. I will come by and by.
I will say so.
By and by is easily said.
Oh, yes!
That was They Fool Me to the Top of My Bent from Act 3, Scene 2 of Hamlet. Kev,
yes.
Want to give us a little context?
Absolutely, be happy to. So this is after the Mousetrap, the play within a play.
Yeah.
Everybody has scrambled to their various corners,
mm-hmm.
And the players are kind of coming through looking for their tips.
Yeah.
And they are carrying a box of recorders, as players always do.
Naturally.
Hamlet grabs one, and he's, you know, messing around with it and basically traps Guildenstern.
Yeah.
With the beginning of this, the play upon me thing, he's fooling him. He's playing the clowning him into this trap.
Yep.
And then Polonius comes by, and he's like, your mom kind of wants to talk about what just happened here, so you should pop by. And he's like, defo will. But in that throwaway aside, you know, he's put this antic disposition while being surrounded by all these idiots and trapping them constantly is like
right.
wearing him out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they pull me to the top of the bent is basically that moment of like, I'm gonna break here.
Yeah.
Like there are all these, I'm surrounded by clowns and I've
right.
had enough. I'm at the breaking point.
Exactly.
And the etymology of top of my bent, meaning the bent bow?
Yes, it is an archery reference. It's the top of the bent is as far as, you know, when you would draw back, when you draw back the arrow, it's as far as that will bend. So the breaking point.
The breaking point.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's some context for it. So how do we use this phrase in our everyday conversation?
So I feel like, you know, this being, he's putting on a face, as the phrase goes, that he's... This is his antic disposition. It's not the way he really wants to be acting, but it's this character that he's playing to pull his plan through. So I feel like this is something that you would use when you are in a situation where you are acting in a way fit for public consumption,
sure,
and you really can't deal with it anymore. Right. So like the first thing that popped into my mind is from my company management days, when rogue, when you have, when I would put on what I refer to as my happy helpful face, which you very rarely see.
I've never seen it.
But I have some people come and see me at work and they're like, are you okay? Why are you smiling so much? I'm like, it's a happy helpful face.
Oh, right.
You know, because actors have a lot of things to worry about backstage. And when they are upset about like a ticket issue, you need to get that resolved so they can go on stage. And, you know, so it's always happy helpful. You're not giving any negative back.
Yeah.
But when everybody's having problems about everything and you're just walking from dressing room and dealing with every problem, and you just have this pasted on smile while inside your head, you're like, ah!
Yes. Yes.
They have fooled me to the top of my bent.
100%. 100%. Not surprisingly, I also went with a work reference.
Sure.
Working in a restaurant in Times Square, which is, you know, it's the same sort of thing, bizarrely, that people come in who are often in Times Square for the first time in their life. So they're on overload.
Right.
They're stressed out. They're going to see a play, maybe their first Broadway play ever in like 180 minutes. And they're like, we have a show. And they're like, okay, I know. Like, I do this every day. I know when the shows are.
Right.
You're fine. You're getting a cheeseburger.
Right.
But they're stressed out. And then they do the thing. There's a thing that servers hate, which is when you string them out.
Okay.
It's when you know, the guest is like, you come up, you get your food, and you're like, this looks great. Can I get you anything? And you're like, I'll have ketchup. And you're like, okay, cool. And you go get ketchup and you bring it back. And you're like, can I get a water as well?
Yeah.
And you're like, sure. And then you go and get the water, you bring it back. They're like, also, can we get mustard and more pepper? And actually, I'll have more ketchup.
Right.
And like, they just get you.
You're
like,
just.
Every time you come back, they need one more thing.
Yeah.
Like the Columbo effect.
Sure, yeah.
And like, in the third one, you're like, they fool me to the top of my bent. Like, I've had it. Right. I was here to have a good time.
Right.
You're going to see a show. I'm making money. This is all good. But now you broke the camel's back.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, and that is, for me, one of the, you know, primary.
Yeah.
That's, you know, your coworker comes over and is like, what's wrong? Like, you point to the chair, like, they're fooling me at the top of my bent.
Right. To take it out of a work environment, I think this can also apply, like, if you are out with your significant other and all of their, like, a friend group that you are not part of. You know, it's like they're friends from home and there are, like, four of them. And you and you're like, they're making all the in-jokes from high school or, like, you know, all their references to other things. Things that you're like, is that actually at my expense? And you're like, I'm having a good time.
Right.
You know?
They just bring up ex-boyfriends.
Right.
And you're like, oh, cool.
Neat. Cool.
Remember that guy remember that nerd guy that worked in the arts?
Uh-huh.
That you dated in high school?
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
cool. I'm having a great time, everyone. And then, like, they all go to get another round or whatever, and your significant other's like, are you okay? And you're like, they have fooled me to the top of my bent!
Absolutely. We, living here in luxurious Brooklyn, are at no loss for coffee places. And I know, listeners, you might be surprised that Kevin and I have different tastes in coffee.
Can you believe it?
Or at least different tastes in coffee experiences. Where I am a big fan of the, you know, the barista that wants to talk and like, how was your day? How was your week? What are you up to? What are you doing later today?
Mm.
What are you working on? What are you reading? Like, we have great heart-to-hearts.
Sure. I want coffee.
Quickly and correctly.
This is a transaction. No need to say thanks.
Perfect.
I mean, I say thanks.
Well, nice.
Well, Brecht doesn't
nice
say thanks.
Man.
Well,
ish.
I'll take it.
But there is one coffee place in the neighborhood, which I won't name because I still go there frequently, but it... You know, I'd go in, they're new. They had their grand opening 6 months after they opened, apparently, because that's what they told me. Because every time I go in, the price was different.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get a large iced coffee with light ice.
Sure.
And milk. Uh-huh. That's my order. Every day, the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
And it would either be a different price or a different size.
Right.
Or like, I'd get a dome lid instead of like, you know, like the like Slurpee, you get
on a
Slurpee lid.
Yeah, on a slush puppy, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, can I have a flat lid? And they're like, oh, we don't have any. I'm like, no, they're right there. I can see them. Can you just pass me one of those? Like, no, we don't. They don't fit that cup. I'm like, they do. I get this every day. I know that you're new, but I'm here. Like, I'm part of this establishment.
Right.
And it's a simple act of going to get coffee, but I leave there exasperated.
And that's awful.
Because they have fooled me to the top of my bent. Like, I just want f***ing coffee.
This could also apply if you are a birthday clown and you're going to a kid's party and you go up and there are like 400 kids and you thought it was going to be like five.
Yeah.
And it's like not even angry. You're just exhausted. You're like, oh, they have fooled me to my breaking point.
Because he'd bent so many balloons.
Right. The there are just so many kids.
Right. Have you ever been a birthday clown?
No.
And that is how we do everyday shakes. Let's get the hell out of here. Plugs, yes, corrections, please. Banter, word of the week.
Sure.
Kevin.
So we actually have a correction this week after not having corrections for a while.
Dare someone.
I went into our Facebook message section, and I realized there were a bunch here that we haven't looked at because I don't get a reminder. So
oh, I've looked at them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And fine, they will not do.
Fine, they will not do.
Agnes wrote us and said, but today you have two wee errors in your trial for Hermione section. The bug which Leontes threatens his wife isn't using the oracle, it's the death sentence. Her speech that follows is basically, bring it on, I have nothing to live for. So that is, I guess that could be interpretation.
That's interpretation.
I could also go to the text if I wanted to.
I have the text right here. Bizarrely enough, I have the Winter's Cell right in front of me.
Very weird.
So, sir, spare your threats. The bug which you would fright me with, I seek. To me, can life be no commodity? The crown and comfort of my life, your favor, I do give lost, for I do feel it gone, but know not how it went. So, yeah, I mean, I think it can be that the bug, that the death sentence is, you know, yeah, kill me, go ahead.
Right.
But it also can be like, you're not going to find what you're looking for there.
Right.
But that's not important. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's important to me is that I've lost your love and I've lost your trust and I have no idea why.
Right.
So I think that there it is. It's murky water for interpretation. But yes, I will concede that it could also be interpreted that the bug is death. Mm. I will make that concession here. On
kind of
Bard.
You. Good oh, for you. Of,
good for you, job. Will Sutton, who is on Twitter at Y Love LUV Shex SHX. That's capital Y L U V S H X, tweeted us, says, still makes me go, I'm interpreting
Jesus.
That. It's it's four U's and four H's, followed by two U's and three H's, and one U and three H's, which you probably got from the
Oh, that's my password.
How nice.
He it's tweeted a Prince song.
An online collection of early English playbooks that you can browse from your lappy toppy.
Mm-hmm.
Described as comprised chiefly of individual editions of English stage plays issued between 1594 and 1799, the Boston Public Library's collection of early English playbooks is extensive and diverse. Go Boston. Numbering well over 1,500 items, the collection also includes masks, pageants, and other dramatic entertainments. I was like, what is this? And I clicked on it, and it was a rabbit hole.
Oh,
okay. Amazing. Like, you can see all the different plays. You can see that, like, they've been archived, so it's like reading the actual book. They've seen the actual paper, the handwriting, the print type, typography. It's a fascinating rabbit hole. So if you're bored, but you want to be looking like really scholarly while you're just casually chilling in the cafe, check out that tweet. I will retweet the link so you can check it out on No Holds Barred on Twitter.com.
Nice. We got another Facebook message from Mosh Moshkowitz, who has contributed
My favorite
before.
Teacher. I'm an A student in his class.
An A minus, but yes, that is an A. Technically right is the best kind of right. I have come to you two as close enough to experts who might respond.
Fair.
With this dilemma. When I teach Hamlet to my seniors and we get to the end of Act 4, they always, every bleeping year, he didn't actually write the swear, he wrote like cartoon swears, which I think is professional. Very,
nice.
Very wise.
Nice work, Mosh.
Go through the following ritual. One, they read the part where Gertrude tells Laertes what happened to Ophelia. Two, the student asks how she has all the details. And then three, despite my attempts to tell them that it's just a narrative trick to inform the audience, the seniors scream Gertrude killed her.
Nice.
Do you have any advice on how to deal with this assumption? Mm-hmm. Even though I try to reason with them, you know, tell them there is nothing in the text to support this theory, they will not listen to me. Mm-hmm. Reason doesn't work around here, so we'll skip that.
Right.
Any suggestions you have are appreciated. So, Dan, as a proud tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
How do you feel about the idea that Gertrude killed Ophelia?
Well, I feel very strongly that she saves Ophelia, or saves her soul at least, as I wrote in my essay, Tamash. This is actually part of the essay that I did write, which is available on our Facebook page. My essay does tackle this issue and the question he asked, because I saw this and I was like, oh, I can answer that too. It's like, also included, but wait, there's more. Right. I answered this question. So my answer is available online.
Oh, nice. I have not read that essay, not because of any slight to you, but because I may have to write some essays myself.
And why is that?
Because of our ongoing weight loss challenge.
How is that going?
We have now gotten through 3 waypoints. Yes. Dan missed the first one, wrote an essay available online.
Yes.
Then I've made the last 2.
As have
I. Flying colors.
I have made them with colors.
You have made them.
I have made them.
In black and white.
Technically made them.
Literally, we had our 3rd weigh-in on April 1st that Dan was at whatever it was, 0.2 pounds on the nose.
Like, directly nailed it, which is what happened in the first one. The only problem was we weighed in at like 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up from a peaceful slumber to do this weigh-in. That's just not how my body works. I needed a couple of hours.
To lose weight?
Yes.
You were heavy. Oh, I understand. No further questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
So I've made weight twice out of 3. 2 out of 3 ain't bad. That'll get me in the Hall of Fame. So, also, we do have more weigh-ins coming up, though, and as the numbers continue to get smaller, they become harder and harder to reach.
Yes, they do.
So, this first couple of weeks, it's actually abominable that I missed 1.
It's atrocious.
Like, it's not how diets are supposed to work.
Right.
So
we'll be doing this through Memorial Day. For you English teachers, you still have the chance to write us essay questions.
Yeah.
We have a pool, but we need more. Right, exactly, and we'll just randomly choose those to punish us for being for not making our goals.
Right, and as necessary. The weather gets nicer, and the people that are like, "Hey, you want to come out and like barbecue real quick?" And it gets harder to say no, and the numbers get lower.
Yeah,
this is gonna. I predict. I'm no oracle at Delphi, but I predict bad things coming.
I foresee some essays.
I've barely made it.
Yeah,
I didn't make it once and barely made it twice, so I'm in big trouble.
And if you have barbecue invitations, please keep them until after the Friday before Memorial Day weekend.
I'll send them over. We'll come. We'll come hang out. We're available. So I got a tweet from @BenCrystal who writes, "So cool." So cool. Top drawer work @MarinShakes. Salute. He tweeted a video, got some action this week of the Marin Shakes out in California did a video of Shakespeare Behind Bars, like a prison program, which got some really great traction. The video is great. You can check it out at Marin Shakes, MarinShakes. I want to give a shout out to Marin. They are friends from STA, friends of ours.
Sure.
They were on Facebook yesterday. Just so proud. After serving 23 years of a life sentence, Damien Brown was released and 13 months later opened as Othello.
Yeah.
In Marin Shakespeare's main stage production, he has just won the Bay Area Theater Critics Circle Best Lead Actor in a theater with 300 plus seats. And Othello won Best Production in the North Bay and Best Production in the Bay Area. We are so proud of Damien. He'll be playing Benedict this summer, if anyone is in the Bay Area, in June.
That's awesome.
So if you're out there, go check it out. This is, you know, Shakespeare Behind Bars having an effect, not just for the prisoners, but also when they come back into society. He's a leading actor now, playing these great roles. It's a great story.
Yeah, it's very inspiring.
Very inspiring. We also, as people who in less inspiring, as less inspiring humans,
our natural state,
we are deep into a betting scheme on MasterChef Junior.
Yes,
which you can follow. We talked about it last episode.
Yes,
but I don't think we mentioned the handle.
Yeah, we talked about the Twitter. We talked about our Twitter. Our Twitter feed, inspired by Odd Bedfellows.
Yes.
That is
at Odd Bedfellows. OddBetfellows.
And so on that, you can keep up with whatever random bets we come up with in our everyday life.
And it ranges from, like, what is the next color car that will pass on the road?
To when they roll out at the intermission of a hockey game, 700 kids playing. We've bet on that.
Yeah. We bet on the pierogi race.
Right, sure. So that'll come.
We get real indignant about it, which might come as a surprise.
It usually comes in flurries and is accompanied by alcohol. So pay attention, Odd Bedfellows, on Twitter.
If you like the show and you want to kick us a few bucks, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. If you donate $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get on our 12-night card list next January and also have access to other special benefits, of which the list is growing.
Mm.
We won't tell you what they are. But if you get on that list ASAP, you just might find a surprise present coming your way sooner rather than later.
And if you are on there already, make sure that your mailing address is up to date.
Not that we're going to send you anything, but just for NSA purposes.
So we can find you. We've actually also, while we're on Patreon, we've gotten a couple of tweets and emails asking if the first episode can be a bonus to a certain patron level. We are considering it.
What's it worth to you? Tweet us and let us know how much that episode's worth.
Because we have a number that will be... we have a number in mind.
Right. It's on eBay. And the buyers buy or sell now. What is it? Buy now?
Buy now. I was thinking like maybe we'll put it on like an audio tape. Like a tape deck, like, and we'll send you a cassette and a cassette player.
Wow.
And like, do not put this on the internet.
That sounds great.
For British ears only.
For British ears only. If you don't have the means or interest, honestly, in supporting us financially, but you still want to help us out, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can try and keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcast. We have a couple of reviews this week. User Start Seeing Minivans wrote, "Best Shakespeare podcast by two dorks. Period. However, 0.00001 point off for deafening me every week with the word
slash."
That's a good guess.
Nailed
good
it.
Good guess, Kev.
I've listened.
So I'm not sure what that math figure is. I think it's like a gajillionth.
It's still an A+.
It's an A+. User Kevin Allen Actor.
Tastefully named.
Right. His last name is Actor, which is ironic because he's a baker, I believe.
It's a bad joke.
Well, there, it's a joke I made. I love it.
Great joke.
Kevin Allen Actor writes, "No Holds Barred is easily the most approachable and entertaining Shakespeare podcast out there. As a Shakespearean scholar and lover of football, this show takes the lofty veneer of Shakespeare and breaks it down into something that is easily understood and accessible. It speaks to hardcore scholars, actors, and everyone else who is just curious about the Bard. Kevin Dan's greatest gift is that they themselves make Shakespeare relevant by coherently applying it to today's events and situations, plus fantasy drafts.
Hell yeah.
With their wealth of practical experience and witty repartee, they make it cool to be a theater nerd. It's okay to like Shakespeare. It really is."
And that's actually, I love that line.
Yeah.
It's okay to like Shakespeare really is. Would be the more upbeat, positive version of what we usually say.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what we're just trying to...
Yeah.
You know what? We're just out here rolling around in the dirt so that we show it's okay.
Yeah.
Is absolutely... And I did a workshop this past week with up at Phillips Exeter Academy on Richard III. And it's a whole bunch of hyper-intelligent sophomores who are... We had 200 kids come in, and they're looking at R3 for the next 6 weeks. And we do... The workshop is basically working with an actor on the first monologue, and we do acting. It's basically a 45-minute rehearsal, and the kids pay attention and then they leave. And I'm talking to teachers afterwards, and I was like, what do they get from this? Because, you know, we find it fun. It's very entertaining for us, and I think it's neat for them to see a rehearsal, but are they getting anything that applies to the play?
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers were saying, you know, this is one of the best workshops of the year because it teaches the kids that you can make mistakes with Shakespeare.
Huh.
You can play with it. And that it isn't like, you know, we're doing like, okay, let's look at just the vowels. Let's look at just the consonants.
Right.
Stuff that we did in college.
Yeah.
But they've not experienced Shakespeare in that way.
Sure.
And they go, oh, you know what? You can just kind of throw it around, which I think is what we've been doing now for 94 episodes.
Yeah.
95
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. That is. Thank you, Kevin Allen Baker. That's a great review.
Rogue.
Word of the week. Did you use it?
I did.
Disposition?
No.
What is it?
It was rogue.
That's the word of the week? Rogue?
You've used is, I think.
I've used rogue as the word of the week before.
Well, I missed it. It's appropriate. It's clearly an appropriate vocabulary word.
What the hell? I hate you.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to use the words I've already used as a word of the week before. Yeah, I suppose. It's very, very difficult to pick that up.
Mm. I'm sure you heard it. You were like, oh, well, that couldn't possibly
couldn't
be
rogue. I've used that word.
So that when you heard it,
of course. I mean, I caught it.
Sure.
Anyway, to keep in touch till next time, you can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. Follow us on Twitter at NoHoldsBardcast or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/NoHoldsBardcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company. Oh, shoot. Oh, we forgot to assuage the trembling Matthew Haley, who was completely knocked for six.
Okay, cool.
Ah, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then, my name is Dan.
And Kevin is my name. If this ep sucked, then Dan's the one to blame.
That didn't even scan. I do.